Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be able to gather in, see your smiling faces. We'll let you find your seats 6 feet apart. This is good. You know what? You could be any place, but you're here.
Amen.
And you know what? I think that pleases the Lord. I really do. I think that's awesome. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and we will get started. Father, thank you for this opportunity to gather. Lord, we ask your blessing upon our time here today, as well as those who are seeing us online. I pray, Lord, your blessing upon them as well that are gathering together. Lord, your word says that where two of us gather together, that you are here among us, and for that we are so excited and thankful for what you will do today. So, Lord, we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, Windham Assembly. How's everybody doing today? Chuck coming to you from Bud Light out here in South Portland. A couple of weeks ago, I was up over there at the Easter prom in Portland. And figured change it up this week. It's a lot better out here today than it was yesterday. I came out here yesterday to try to do this, and the wind was so strong. Number one, you couldn't hear me over the wind noise in the video. Number two, kept on blowing off my hat. Anyway, we all were here this morning, so obviously you know that we're doing our services here at the church building. We're not going to be having our regular kids' services and Sunday school this morning. So if bring the kids with you, they are more than welcome to stay with you throughout the entire service. And we are more than happy to have them with us. Glad to see their smiling faces. Also, we won't be doing a regular offertory. We're not going to be passing around the bags because we don't want to pass around anything with the bags. So there will be some containers over there on the information desk. And if you brought your tithes and offerings with you this morning, you can place them in there. Otherwise, you can still send them via snail mail to Windham Assembly of God, 1051 Roosevelt Trail, Windham, Maine, 04062. Or you can go to our website, windhammag.org, and click on the button at the bottom of the page that says tithes and offerings. And that will take you to a secure giving website that you can give that way. Finally, we are still doing our Wednesday evening virtual Bible study for adults. It's based on the Right Now Media Bible study, Psalm 23. It's a six-part series. This week, we're going to be doing session three, called Paths. So it's about an eight-minute video. Watch the video during the week. And then on Wednesday evening at 7:15, go ahead and log into the telephone teleconference or the video teleconference and join in on the discussion. Now, the information on how to watch the video and to log into the teleconferences is going to be coming up here in just a second. Folks, that's all I got. It's really actually quite nice out here today. A little hazy, but other than that, at least the wind's not trying to blow my hat over into Casco Bay. So, folks, you guys take care of yourselves. Have a wonderful week. And I will talk to you all again next week. Bye.
morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right, let's stand up and worship. This is some upbeat music. We need some cheering up, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't know if you knew this one or not, but the words are pretty simple, so I don't know what. Every praise. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship on our core. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Awesome power, I got. then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then who can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? What can stand against?
What I showed you last week. I get lost without you. I need some of your glory to brighten up my way.
You are not a God created by human hands.
unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent in any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give. By your hand, that's just the way. Jesus, you.
We're going to take this time to go before the Lord in prayer this morning. I'm sure that there are needs here. I'm sure that there are needs online. But I believe that we have a God who meets needs. Amen?
Amen.
God who cares. God who hears. God who answers. So if you have a special kind of a need this morning, whatever it is, I would just raise your hand right there. If you're at home watching, raise your hand right now. Special need, whatever it is. As an indicator that you want God to touch you today, just raise it up. Hallelujah. Lord, your word declares that we can come boldly before the throne of grace to receive mercy, to help in time of need. So Lord, we do that right now. We come before you. Lord, clothed in your righteousness. Not a righteousness of our own, but Lord, that which you have granted to us by virtue of the reality of Calvary and your resurrection power, and us receiving you as our Lord and Savior. So Lord, we come to you boldly, with full access. And Lord, I'm asking you to intercede on behalf of those who have a need today. Lord, that the power of your presence, even now as we speak, just be released to touch in Jesus' name. Lord, in the same way that the woman with the issue of blood reached out and touched the hem of your garment in virtue flowed from you. Lord, I pray that those raised hands right now are touching the hem of your garment and let power just surge into those circumstances, Lord. Whether it be relational, whether it be emotional, whether it be physical, whatever the case may be, whether it be financial, whatever the need is, Lord, you are not only able, but you are willing. So we release that, Lord, in the name of Jesus right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we intercede on behalf of this nation. Lord, we intercede on behalf of this country. Lord, we stand against the power of the enemy that we seek to divide and to destroy. Lord, it's the thief who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But you have come that we might have life and that more abundantly. So we stand against the discord and strife and pray that the spirit of unity and the bond of peace would be poured out in places today. So Lord, as the church, we intercede. Lord, we pray that truth would prevail in all circumstances. Lord, that the lies of the enemy would be torn down, that Lord, strongholds would be broken. Everything that stands against the knowledge of God would be destroyed in the name of Jesus. So that, Lord, you may prevail. Lord, for this we are thankful. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, God. I'm going to switch mics. All right. So how are we doing?
Awesome.
Amen. You ready to get into the Word?
Yes.
Say yes.
Yes.
All right. Just check to make sure you're out there. All right. Acts chapter 2 first. And then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12. All right. Acts chapter 2 first. And then 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to deal with a topic today that, frankly, is not really talked about much these days. But we're going to talk about it today. Is that all right? Acts chapter 2, we just came through Pentecost Sunday last week. And something interesting happened on the day of Pentecost that continues through to today. So Acts chapter 2, the first couple of verses, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, there came from heaven a noise, like a violent rushing wind." It wasn't a violent rushing wind. It was the noise like a violent rushing wind, just so you understand there. "And it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them tongues as a fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues," say, "speak with other tongues, as the Holy Spirit was giving them utterance." Father, thank you for your word. And I pray now, Lord, that as we walk through this study today, that the power of your presence will not only inspire, but encourage and illumine our hearts and minds, in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 2, I'm going to call the Jewish Pentecost. Acts chapter 8, I'm going to call the Samaritan Pentecost. Acts chapter 10, we're going to call the Roman Pentecost. And Acts chapter 19, we're going to call it the Greek Pentecost. So, again, it's a matter of awe. And what we're going to deal with today is the value and the uniqueness of spiritual language. So my theme is up there on the screen, and it says, "Understanding better practice of spiritual language or speaking in tongues will enhance our spiritual life and ministry." There is value there in praying in the Spirit. There is value. So we're going to talk about that today as we proceed. So now, flip over to 1 Corinthians 12. So today is just a little bit more like a Bible study than a straight up sermon. Is that all right? I don't know what I'd do if you said no. First Corinthians chapter 12, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be aware." Now let me stop right there. It says, "Now concerning." It says, "Now concerning." The second half of the book of First Corinthians, Paul is answering questions. We don't have the letter that the Corinthians wrote to the Apostle Paul. But we have the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians. And so there's starting at 7, you see, now concerning, all the way through chapter 12 is another now concerning. We don't really know the question that they asked. My wife's giving me a note here. What is he saying to me?
He doesn't want them to be unaware.
What did I say? Oh, well, I'm glad somebody's listening. Why didn't the rest of you pick that up? Because you won't know what I said. Okay. All right. So, now the interesting point here is that he's saying we don't know the exact question that they were asking, but we can get an idea based on the answer. And it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." How many of you have a Bible that shows gifts in italics? That's a good thing, because the word gifts is actually not in the text. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, "Now concerning matters of the Spirit," or "now concerning spirituality." What does it mean to be really spiritual? And that's what he's answering here in relationship to the Corinthians, because they were evidently asking this question. Now, just a little background. The Corinthians were about as competitive as Americans. It was a race all the time. Everybody had to be better than somebody else, and in truth, that's what they were doing with these gifts, quote-unquote, of the Spirit. And Paul is basically saying, you know, no, that's not really what spirituality is all about. So he's going to teach them. He says, now concerning matters of the Spirit, I do not want you to be unaware. Verse 4 says, now there are varieties of, what's the next word?
Gifts.
Says gifts. I don't like that word there because it's not the word gift. You know what it is? It's the word grace. It's the word grace. There's another Greek word for gift. This isn't it. It's the word grace. He says, now there are variety of graces. There are varieties of graces. What's grace? Let's go on to the next slide. What's grace? Grace, I'm going to give you a definition. You'll see it on actually the next slide. But grace is God's enabling power in general. That's what grace is. Grace is God's enabling power. Grace is action. Grace is a demonstration of who God is. That's what grace is. Grace is God's power taking us from where we are to where He desires for us to be. We're going to contrast it with mercy for a minute because sometimes we interchange those two words. And there is a great difference between mercy and grace. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. That's mercy. Grace takes you to the next level and gives you power to move forward. Let me say it in terms of finances for a minute, because mercy and forgiveness can be equated. Let's say you were in debt up to your eyeballs. You did everything you could to get rid of the debt. Everything but sell yourself. You were absolutely destitute. You had nothing, but you were still in debt. And somebody came along and paid your debt. Whoa, awesome, marvelous, right? But where are you? Your debt's paid, but where are you? Say, I'm at zero. I was in the red, and now I'm at zero. That's mercy. Mercy gets us back to zero. That's mercy. Grace fills our account and keeps it full. Grace gets us from where we are to where God desires for us. It's a demonstration of God's power. You know this verse. For by what you have been saved?
Grace.
Oh. Grace saved you. Grace is an action term. It's not a passive term. It's an action term. Grace took you out of the miry clay and set you on the solid rock. Grace broke the chains of sin. That's what grace is. And when we're talking about the graces of the Holy Spirit, what we're talking about are manifestations of God's power. We're talking about God's work through us to others. This is a very significant element here. We could even call them gracelets, elements of God's power that He uses through us to others. For by grace you have been saved. It's a power word. Now there are varieties, plural, varieties of graces, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of energies. The word here in the New American Standard says effects, but it's the word we get energy from. These are God's engines. Power, forward motion, effects with the same God who works all things in all persons. And he says, but to each one is, what's the next word?
Given.
Here's a better translation. But to each one is entrusted the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What's the difference between given and entrusted? Can you feel the nuance? What's the difference? You see, the difference is this. When someone gives you a gift, it's yours. So, in a sense, you have the control over it. But if you are entrusted with something, what does that mean? That means it still belongs to the one, but you have certain levels of control over it, right? I want you to see that the gifts of the Spirit are not given to you as yours. They really belong to the Spirit and to the body of Christ. We are entrusted with God's gifts so that we can help others do what God desires for us to do. Let me give you an example. I have a vehicle. The district, Northern New England District, provides me with a vehicle. Is it mine? Well, kind of. I'm the only one who drives it, with the exception of my wife once in a while. I'm the only one. Every 245,000 miles I put on it, I see that it's maintained. I see that there's gas in it. I see that it's registered. I see that it's inspected. Now, I don't pay for any of that because it's not mine. If I left this job, the car would stay with the... And why do they give me a car? Because it's necessary for the job. I'm traveling usually every weekend. Usually somewhere. We're going somewhere every weekend, other churches and things of that nature. So it's necessary for the job. I'm going to add this point by illustration. A lot of times we don't see people exercising the gifts of the Spirit because they're not in the game, to mix my metaphors. Because they haven't clocked in. If we're going to use the gifts, it means we got to be in the game. It means we got to be part of the process. Now, why am I making such a big deal about this gift issue? Here's why. There's two sides. One, there's those who say, well, Pastor Dan, you know, God just didn't give me any gifts. Oh, no. No. They're all there. For you to access, they're entrusted to all who are in the game. Okay? Then there are others on the other side, this is the Corinthian side, who say, well, I have the gift of. And they think they're something. And God says, no, I don't think you're anything. No. So we've got those two sides. Can you imagine? I took you down to my little basement, and I brought you down and I showed you all my tools. I've got drill press, I've got a scroll saw, I've got a band saw, I've got my circular saw, I've got my table saw, I've got my router. I showed you all my tools. You're going to say, that's really great, Pastor Dan. What did you make? And I'm going to say, oh, nothing. Nothing. I don't make stuff. I just have tools. Don't you like them? Oh, well, why don't you use them? Oh, well, you know, I might ding up a hammer or something. And, you know, those saws, they can get dull. So, Mama, how ridiculous is that? Right? Holy Spirit called us to get into God's shop and use the tools that he has provided for us. All right? Now that's talking about the gifts in general. Now I'm going to get more specific with you. All right? What I want to talk about today is the gift of tongues in particular. Now just look it up at the screen just to show you there. The gifts of, go back one. The gifts are tools, not trophies, caught more than taught, love, not leverage, art more than science, and always to bless and never to boast. I'll just throw that out there. All right? Let's go on. What is tongues? gift, the grace of tongues. What is that? Definition? Speaking in tongues is the divine impartation of an unlearned human or angelic language. Did that happen in Acts 2? Say yes.
Yes.
Yeah. How many different languages do you remember from last week? 16 different languages were spoken and heard. 16 different languages. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men or of angels. Right. Now let me say this quickly. Some people say, well, you know, this speaking in tongues business is just too crazy because there's not a biblical precedent. Well, that actually, we're going to talk about that in another way because it's unique in that respect. But let me ask this. Has God, in the Old Testament, ever imparted language without that language having been learned? Say yes. Let me give you three instances. Ready? Adam and Eve. They never learned language. Bam, they were created with language. God spoke to them from the beginning. As soon as he breathed life into them, boom, language there. How about the Tower of Babel? Boom. God imparted languages all over the place. For, by the way, the opposite reason that he poured out Pentecost, which is another story. Okay. How about a comical one? How about Balaam's donkey? The donkey that spoke. God imparted a language. So is impartation of language precedented? The answer is yes. But this is still unique and still very new. Because of all of the graces of the Spirit, the nine that are mentioned, tongues and interpretation are the only two not seen in the Old Testament. The only two not seen in the Old Testament. So let's go on a little farther. No, I'm sorry. Come back to me. There we go. Tongues, first of all, is for everybody. Those are the texts. I'm not going to go through and read them all, but it's for everybody. Some people say, well, you know, that I have this gift, I don't have that. No. Gift of tongues is for all. The Bible says that very clearly. And it also says it's to be desired. Tongues is to be desired. Let's go on. Tongues is real languages. We already spoke of that. 1 Corinthians 14 says tongues is not to be forbidden. And here's an interesting one. I am going to have you turn to this. Turn to Ephesians 6. Because this is often not included. Ephesians 6. You know this passage as God's armor. Starting at verse 14, it says, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the devil, take up the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and all petition, pray at all times, how? In the Spirit. In the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, is part of your spiritual armor. Very, very important piece to our armor, but oftentimes it's not included. So I want you to see that. Let's go on. Tongues is evidence, or tongues is a sign. Sign of transition or change. We saw that Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 9, Acts 10, Acts 19. Transition or change. It's a sign of God's missional inclusiveness. That's why we saw all those languages. It's a sign of Spirit baptism. When a person is filled with the Spirit, they will speak in tongues. That's the evidence. We see that in Acts 2. We see that in Acts 9. We see that in Acts 8. We see that in Acts 10. We see that in Acts 19. When you see a pattern like that, you say, oh, wow, maybe that's the way it should work for me too. Exactly. It's a sign of God's manifest presence. It's a sign of God's manifest presence. Let's go on, Chuck. Tongues is unique. Now, I've asterisked these because these really speak to the uniqueness of tongues. Tongues is from man to God. That's what the Bible says. It says when you pray, you do not speak to men, but you speak to God. So tongues is prayer, praise, worship, and used for corporate edification. Let me explain. If I receive a word of knowledge that comes from God through me to whomever it is directed. From God through man to man. However, the Bible says tongues is from man to God. That's different. All right? Secondly, tongues can be exclusively personal or private. This is of all the gifts of the Spirit. This is the only one that I can do all by myself. All of the rest demand some other circumstance around it. If I receive a prophetic word, well, that's going to be for somebody else or for the body, whatever. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, faith, healing, miracles, all of that involves others. Speaking in tongues is something I can do all by myself in my car as I'm driving to the district office for 17 miles all the way. I can do that. And pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Tongues is the only spiritual manifestation over which we do have a certain level of control. I have no control over whether or not I receive a prophetic word or a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or discerning. I have no control over that. It's something God does through the Spirit. Something God does. However, those of you who are filled with the Spirit know you can speak in tongues right now. You have. That's been imparted to you. It is part of your prayer life. It's part of your prayer arsenal, so to speak. So you can pray in the Spirit right now. You do have that control, so to speak, over that. And tongues is the only supernatural sign not seen in the Old Testament. All of the other ones, you can find them there. One of the exercises I like is Luke chapter 5. Would you go there, please? Luke chapter 5 is absolutely awesome text. You know the story, so I really won't have to tell you the story. Jesus was preaching. He was in a house packed with religious leaders, packed with religious leaders. And some guys decided to bring their friend to Jesus. So they went up onto the roof, tore the roof apart, and lowered Jesus down. This is Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 17. It says, and one day he was teaching there, some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there, who came from every village of Galilee and Judea. By the way, this was a specific kind of meeting. This is a meeting for the religious leaders to decide whether or not Jesus was who he said he was. That's what this kind of meeting was. It says, and the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. And some men carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in, set him down in front of him, but not finding a way, bringing him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof, let him down through the tiles and the stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven you. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk, so that you may know the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins? He said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home. What do we see in this text? Well, first of all, we see discerning of spirits, we see word of wisdom, we see word of knowledge. Jesus knows what those guys are thinking. What is that? That's discerning of spirits, word of knowledge. We see miracle. We see healing. We see all. The only things we don't see in this text are tongues and interpretation. The only things missing. Why is that? Well, because they didn't come about until after Acts 2. It didn't happen until after Acts 2. And tongues is unique because it's the new kid on the block. God has given us this as part of our spiritual arsenal. Tongues also builds faith. That's what Jude 20 says. Jude only has one chapter, so that's why it's verse 20. All right, let's go on to the next one. Tongues, this is an interesting study here. There was a gentleman by the name of Dr. Newberg. He was at the University of Pennsylvania at the time. And he was doing brain studies. And the brain studies he was doing were people in religious activity. So he studied people praying, studying people meditating, and he also studied people who prayed in tongues, which is kind of interesting. And here's what he found. That when people prayed in tongues, that the prefrontal cortex of the brain, that this is the language center. This is where language happens. So because I'm talking to you right now, this part of my brain is working, I hope. This part of the brain is working. However, when the people were asked to pray in the spirit, and they did EEGs, and they did MRIs, and all of that, and they did brain scans and such, you know what they found? That when people prayed in tongues, the language center of the brain quieted down, and other parts of the brain were firing. That's interesting, because it says that speaking in tongues doesn't come from the same place that my normal language comes from. I think that coordinates with the Apostle Paul. He says, when I pray in the Spirit, he says, my mind is unfruitful, but my spirit prays. And the Apostle Paul didn't even know Dr. Newberg. Isn't that interesting? So, I want you to see that this is a unique element here. Speaking in tongues, let's just look at it. 1 Corinthians 14:14, I've got the reference up there for you. Because I think it's worth noting. I'll pick it up, I'll read verse 2 and 14 because we made that point earlier. It says, for one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit, he speaks mysteries. Okay, then verse 14 says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit, I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit, I will sing with the mind also. So there is a uniqueness to praying in tongues that is significant. Also, there's some other elements there, just a couple of books, just to realize that speaking in tongues actually has emotional, mental health benefits. Well, that works too, because Paul says that when you pray in the Spirit, you edify yourself. I don't know about you, but I need a little edifying now and again. I need a little bit of emotional uplift now and then. I need a little bit of that spiritual benefit that comes. Some of those good brain chemicals to work. And praying in the Spirit helps us. Praying in the Spirit helps us. What a marvelous tool God has provided for us. What a marvelous tool that God has provided. So, I teach all of this today to say two things. Number one, if you have not yet been filled with the Spirit, then you need to pursue this. You need to pursue this so that the Acts 2 experience, the Acts 10 experience, the Acts 19 is yours too. You need it. Why do I know that? Well, Jesus told the apostles. He said, don't leave Jerusalem until you get this. We need that. We got to have this. Then two, that enables us to be more effective in our ministry. Now, I talked about the car a little while ago, right? Well, I suppose I could walk to work. I suppose I could. 17 miles from my house to the district office. I suppose I could walk. It's, well, if I walk 4 miles an hour, that would take me a little over 4 hours to get there. Okay? And then I could walk home. That'd be another 4 hours. I suppose I'd get a lot done doing that. I suppose I could walk all around Maine, Vermont, and New Hampshire. But the tool helps. The car helps. I suppose if I was going to frame a house, I probably could pound nails with a rock. I probably could. But boy, wouldn't a pneumatic nailer work better? Wouldn't that work so much better? My goodness. How valuable. See, we can try to do ministry. We can try to do ministry on our own. We can try to do ministry with our own abilities and talents. We can try to do ministry just as human beings. But God has provided us an opportunity for supernatural ministry. There are things, believe it or not, that we can't do on our own. You know, over the years, I've seen many, many people healed, touched by God in miraculous fashion. I've seen that. Do you know I didn't heal one of them? I didn't heal one of them. Nope. Who does that? But boy, don't we get to have the opportunity to play, to participate, to get involved in the game and see God do a work? Have you seen people healed, set free, changed by the power of the Spirit? Yeah, you have. Yeah. How does that happen? It happens by God working through us. So, the gifts of the Spirit in general, speaking in tongues for today in particular, this is all for us to be all that God desires for us to be. The gifts of the Spirit in general are for others, not for us. One of the uniqueness of tongues is that it's for us. God knows we need it too. So, as you pray in the Spirit, you're going to see uplift and building up in your faith, Jude 20, and in your emotional, mental health. Wow. I would say today, with the anxiety that exists in the world today, you ought to be praying in the Spirit a lot. Absolutely. So my encouragement to you today, spend time praying in the Spirit. And if you haven't yet got into that, well, my word, it's time. It's time. Say, well, Pastor Dan, I didn't know that that was for everybody. I already told you it's for everybody. I thought it was just some. No, everybody. All 120 in the upper room got it. All of those in Acts 19 got it. Right? All of those that came to Cornelius' house in Acts 10 got it. It was an all. Say, well, I've tried and I didn't receive. What do you mean you've tried? This isn't a try. This is a receive. It's a receive. And it comes the same way everything else comes, by faith. By faith. Lord, I thank you for what you have provided. And soon, what will happen is, you will hear stuff coming from a different place. Say, well, you know, I've heard syllables and it sounds a little silly. Yeah, I suppose any language we don't know sounds silly to us. Any net language that is not native to us may sound silly. Well, you know, see, you got to just allow the Spirit. And it's not going to come from your brain. at least not from your language center. It's going to come from a different place. I think I read somewhere where Jesus said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So receive. Receive. Be endued with power from on high. One last silly illustration. You ready? That word endued means to be clothed. And the way I look at the gifts of the Spirit and speaking in tongues is part of God's superpowers. One of my favorites is Iron Man. Without the suit, he's nothing. But with the suit, man, wow. You got a suit, people. You're endued with power from on high. And let power of the Spirit, don't ever get out of the suit. Because then you're vulnerable. Stay in the suit and let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I hope that was an encouragement to you, or at least, very least, a reminder to you. I'll tell you the truth. It's easy to get distracted in life. Easy to get distracted and forget about some things. So a good reminder. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Take the opportunity every day to pray in the Spirit. You don't have to have a special inspiration. You don't have to have Christian music on. Just pray in the Spirit. Doesn't have to have a feeling associated with it. Just pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Let that spiritual language do what God wants you to do. One last story and I'll conclude. One of our missionaries who we supported for many years, in fact, he's now starting a church for us in South Portland. His name is Chris Trombetta. Chris was a missionary to Native Americans, and he was pastoring a church on the reservation, and the kids were out playing, and the reservation drunk came by and started, you know, harassing the kids a little bit. So Chris came out of the house and was chatting with the man, sent the kids to the backyard, whatever. And Chris said, can I pray for you? And the man said, yeah. His name was Johnny Leftbear. That was his name. I talked to Chris about it. So Chris began to pray. First he prayed in English, and then he began to pray in tongues. And Johnny startled, said, why are you saying that? Why are you saying that? Why are you saying that? Kept saying it. What Johnny was hearing when Chris was speaking in tongues was a Native American language that Chris did not know. It was called Lakota Sioux, was the name of the language. And he was speaking, and Johnny understood everything that Chris was saying as he was, wow, what's that about? Wow. How could that have ever, you know, was God using this gift, an intercessory circumstance to minister to Johnny Lefkowitz? And the answer is yes. The answer is absolutely. Wow. I could tell you a few other stories like that. Just as an encouragement for you to pray in the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to do through you what he desires. All right? Let's pray together. The response this morning is a simple one. For those of you who have already been filled with the Spirit, I want you to be reminded every day to spend time praying in the Holy Spirit. Every day, spend time praying in the Holy Spirit. For those of you who have yet to receive. My challenge is, open your heart. Don't let intellectualism or fear stop you, but just as a child, receive what the Holy Spirit has for you, and you will have a new dimension of prayer. I know that you've had the experience of being in a situation where you just didn't know how to pray. It's way beyond us. I certainly have. But boy, praying in the Spirit, automatically the Bible says we pray according to God's will when we pray in the Spirit. Very, very significant. Very valuable. Very, very important. The Bible says if we pray according to His will, we have the petition that we ask. So I'm encouraging you to go after this. Don't quit. Say, Pastor Dan, when can I receive? You can receive whenever you're ready to receive. I can tell you some interesting stories. I know one person who received the baptism in the Holy Spirit in a tanning booth. I know another person who received the baptism in the Holy Spirit as they were traveling up the Spalding Turnpike in New Hampshire. Didn't even remember going through the toll booth. My mom was at the kitchen sink, was washing dishes. Presence of the Lord, she received. Many of you would have very interesting stories as to when you receive. It doesn't matter where, doesn't matter. I've had people receive in my office, in church, at camp, you name it. Any place, anytime you're ready, let the Holy Spirit just flow through you. And let that spiritual language be for you the value and the benefit that it can be. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for your provision. Lord, you said in Peter that you have provided for us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So Lord, here's another element of that we can receive. So I thank you, Lord, for what you have given to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. There could be those right now, because of the environment, because of the atmosphere, even right there in your house, you're listening, that something is coming to your mind. Something's coming to your heart. Something is happening right now. I would challenge you, just release it. Say those things. Nobody has to lay hands on you. Nobody is going to make it happen. Just release it. The Bible says they spoke, but the Holy Spirit gave them the utterance. So just release it right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'll just add this as a concluding remark. In relationship to our nation, in relationship to our country, in relationship to the circumstances that are happening all over the place, I think it would be really good for us to pray in the Spirit. To pray in the Spirit and allow those strongholds to be broken down. You don't know how to pray? What do? We pray in the Spirit. Don't know what to say? Our words don't feel adequate? Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. So Lord, we thank you for that opportunity. We thank you for that tool that you have provided for us. We thank you, Lord, for that grace that you have provided for us. Lord, that power of your Spirit So I pray that as we leave the place today, that Lord, we will take what you have given to us as we go out and use those tools for blessing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Glad you are here today. Next week, Pastor Joel comes. Yes. So you will have a brand new pastor next week. So God bless you as you continue. It's been definitely been a blessing for me to serve as interim during this time period. And so I'm excited for what God has in the future for Wyndham Assembly. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you and have you dismissed.